to Where Brains Meet Beauty, hosted by Jodi Katz, founder and creative director of Base Beauty Creative Agency.
Hi, Eleni.
Hi, Jodi. How are you?
I am good. I am back to my desk after a week away for client events. It's nice to be back in my slippers.
Very nice. Very nice to be in slippers and also very fun to be at client events. We've had a lot of fun events going on lately for our team.
I know, we're going to talk about a few of them today, and we'll hold some which are under embargo for another conversation. Well, speaking of events, I was just at their brand event 2 weeks ago. Our guest today is Maria Warrington. She's the CEO of Beacon Wellness Brands, and Beacon Wellness Brands owns Plus One, which is a sexual device, pleasure device company, Plum Beauty and Palm Perfect. And she's also a client, and so we get to hang out with her in our work and at the podcast event, which is great. And I just went with one of our team members, Lainey, to a Plus One event. It was a Galentine's Day event, and it was so much fun.
I loved seeing social media coverage. I am such a fan of the like slow motion videos and seeing how that comes to life. Like everyone loves a celebrity moment. So cool.
Well, it was 100% all Galentine's Day out. It was a focus of self-love and celebration and laughter. And we got to see Maria there, but also Catherine Burke Pratt and Nicole Julian, who are other clients. So it was nice to see them. Everyone came like really dressed for Galentine's Day, a lot of red dresses, a lot of pink, a lot of hearts. And Lainey met me there, which was super fun. We had a really nice time.
Well, that's great. And the event was actually focused on a theme that I feel like comes up a lot on the show. Girls just want to have empowerment, which is a great name. And it sounded like there was a lot of interesting conversation, some comedy, and lots of different interactive moments at the event as well.
Well, there was a comedian who, she was next level. Her name is Brittany Brave. I'm obsessed with her. She's hilarious, so talented. She really like had the room peeing in their pants too. I'm sure she said that like 1,000 times. And there was a candy bar and flowers and like these make your own Galentine's Day card stations where you can mail out a card to your best gal friend. Everything was really highly curated to the theme and super fun.
Amazing. So this brand, Plus One, they really champion sexual wellness and pleasure without shame. And they continue to create spaces where women can embrace self-love and have open conversations. There shouldn't be taboo, just joy. And it sounds like this event was a really great place for that conversation.
Yeah, total kudos to the Plus One team. They activated events a lot. Nicole's very busy planning and executing events. And it was so exciting that there was one in New York City that we can attend. We were so happy to be there.
Great. I love also getting a chance to hang out with our clients, like you said. And we've gotten to do a lot of really great, interesting brand fundamentals work and campaign work with Plus One. So getting to see some of these stories that we're coming up with their team come to life in these moments is always interesting and exciting.
Maria's conversation on the podcast is really inspiring because she, much like the event I was at, talks about how to like with joy talk about pleasure. And these are topics, like as you mentioned, that are often taboo and people have like all these, you know, innuendos about, and they don't want to say the words, you know, out loud and directly. And she talks about like what it's like to build a business around this topic and how you have conversations in the office about things that actually in like a lot of companies you can't talk about, right? Like talking about one's orgasm in a business meeting, if you're like a banker, is probably not okay. But at this business, you have to talk about it, right? It's the subject matter. So she talks about, you know, actually like her phone rings often with people who want to enter on this industry. It's really exciting to hear.
It's amazing. I'm very excited for everyone to listen in and hear some more about Maria Warrington's career journey on episode 278.
Welcome to Where Brains Meet Beauty. I'm sitting with Maria Warrington, the CEO of Beacon Wellness Brands. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. This is amazing. I walked in and I was delighted with how adorable this is.
Oh, we're really happy to have you.
Really excited.
So full disclosure, we worked together.
We did.
And we're going to dig into topics that are important to both of us. But first, we're going to talk about when you're a little kid. What did you want to be when you grow up?
So I wanted to be a doctor when I was a little kid. I think it started when I was pretty young. Always kind of was interested in, probably a pediatrician was the first, like just the medical field. helping kids, it intrigued me. But then I started getting really into surgery and watching surgeries on TV. Like, I would sit and watch it, which is strange. My parents would be like, why are you watching, like, bloody surgeries? And then I got really into the show ER. I don't know if you guys remember that in my teen years. And then I was like, that's what I want to do. This is what I'm going to do.
So ER, this is the show when I think it's jump the shark moment was there was a ferry and the ferry like got into a disaster and they performed brain surgery right there on the spot.
Wasn't that when Grey's Anatomy?
Oh yeah, right.
Grey's Anatomy. Yeah. ER was like Noah Wiley, who has a new show, The Pitt, that I can't wait to watch. And George Clooney.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like I think it was like the first medical show with love and romance. I don't know it was my favorite. I just remember being in high school watching that show and being like, this is life. You're a doctor, you're in love, you're like, yeah, that was what was going to be my life.
In high school, I was very devoted to Beverly Hills 90210.
I was also committed to that as well. But
so you're not a doctor now.
No.
What happened?
So quickly, I went to school, kind of pre-med, and quickly, I think I was such a good like student and focused on school through high school. When I got to college, I think I was ready to not be focused on school. It all of a sudden switched. I actually met my best friend and my now husband in the first week freshman year at college, and I started to just want to have fun. And I was like taking biology and chemistry, and I was like, I don't know if I can keep doing this for 12 more years. And over the course of a couple of years, I just decided I'm going to focus on business and kind of let the dream go.
So in high school, you were the kid who stayed after school for extra help. You tutored your friends.
Extra everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to have straight A's, was neurotic. And I'm watching my 14-year-old do the same. And I'm like, did I do this to her? Comes home from school, has to have her homework done, gets upset if she gets anything wrong. And I'm trying to like adjust that behavior because I was like that. I've since changed. I'm not like that anymore, but I was when I was in high school.
What do you think switched on your brain to go from the fastidiousness and like devotion to grades and, you know, really reaching a very specific goal, which I would assume is the A+ or A++ extra credit, to saying, nah, let me go have a good time?
I think it was building relationships that were really strong. Again, I think I met my husband, I met my best friend. So it was like this idea of just having something else besides school. Like in high school, I had good friends and I still am friends with them to this day, but just like that really strong relationship, and they wanted to have fun and I wanted to have fun, and we were outside of Boston exploring the city. It just, I don't know, I think maybe that changed it. Diversify a bit more of my life than just school.
As you're talking about life as a teenager, I'm thinking about like how even as adults, sometimes we hide behind our work. Like, is there any part of you that like thought moving through the world as a teenager is easy if I just stay focused on this one thing and not have to play in other realms?
Yeah. I mean, it's the focus, right? Mm-hmm. When you're in school, like that's your life is grades and studying. So I felt like that was just the most important thing. And as I got older, I learned, you know, more about other parts of your life and your relationships and how to make yourself happy. So I think that's probably what changed. And even now with kids, I think I say I don't have that need to be perfect as much anymore. Once you have kids, you realize like it's impossible to be perfect. Something's always going to go wrong, or there's going to be something you have to tackle from a challenge perspective. And then in the business world as well. So being perfect is just a dream that I know isn't real, and it actually doesn't really benefit people.
Right. I like to say that like perfect doesn't exist, so it shouldn't even be a word in our vocabulary.
Let's just move on from it.
Right. It's so like I believe in unicorns.
Unattainable.
Right. More than I believe in perfection.
Yeah. That's great. Yes. It's funny. I'm realizing this. Like, this is therapy. I'm having this all come. You're bringing this out of me.
So you just said something really interesting. Like, you're channeling how to make yourself happy. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be the thread of our conversation, mm-hmm. especially in the business that you're in now. Yeah. But, you know, I want to move from, you know, the desire to be a doctor to how does one end up as a CFO? And the reason why I ask is because that job that you had before being CEO seems like
the farthest away job from my job. Mm-hmm. And thankfully I have a talented CFO on my team, mm-hmm. but it's, you're actually incredibly creative. So I'm curious as to like why you chose a path that's like really driven by like the facts on the page.
Yeah. So I think again, it was, I was in this point where I started to focus on business and finance, early 20s, mid 20s, where it was almost, it just was easy for me to do that. It came natural. Accounting classes, all of that was just kind of easy. So I could do that and progress and kind of make my career while still having fun and focusing on my social life and my relationship. So I don't know if that makes sense.
So this was the coasting. This is interesting. I know there's a lot of parents of teens and college age people here. So interesting to hear that, like, as a young person, the coasting option was finance.
Yes, for me. Yeah.
Right? This is unusual. Mm-hmm. I was a government and law major in college, mm-hmm. which had no emotional ties to me. It's just, you know, I don't know. It's where I fell. So it's fascinating to me that you found like finance is like, this is the way to have a lifestyle. Right. Yeah. So now you actually work at like what I would consider a lifestyle business. Yeah. You're in sexual wellness and pleasure.
Yeah.
Right. How did you end up there?
So my finance career, I spent about 13 years at Wolverine Worldwide, which is footwear and apparel. Predominantly footwear. So I worked on brands like Sperry, Keds, Stride Rite, which is children's footwear brand, Merrell, big hiking brand. So did a bunch of different finance strategy, operations, merchandising, kind of e-com, all things wholesale retail, consumer goods, but footwear mostly, some apparel. And I worked on a brand for 2 years, Keds, which is the... I don't know if you guys remember Kez. There's this white canvas sneaker. It was the first sneaker made for women in the early 1900s. And we created a campaign and a marketing story around that, made for women by women. We were an all-female leadership team. It was a really fun couple years where I worked on that brand. We were in a pretty male-dominated public company, but we were a small, you know, $100 million brand or so at that time that was really focused on doing something different and talking about this female empowerment message. And we started collaborating with brands in the beauty space. We collaborated with Goop a little bit. So I was able to get some exposure to some of those brands and just this idea of a female leadership team creating a brand and a product that speaks to women in different ways was really fun and engaging. And so it also got me, I was probably close to turning 40 at that point. I started getting just completely personally interested in my body. I had been on Mirena like my whole life basically and was having, you know, just kind of like turn 40, weight gain, you know, some mood stuff, like started just to get focused on my body and hormones started coming up in conversations in whether it was personal conversations, social media, researching. Again, my kind of that medical background in me always brings me online and doing research around what's happening inside my body. I want to know what's happening. And so I was just personally kind of in that realm, and this role came up. Just a recruiter called me, and you know, it's funny, he was going on and on about the role. It's a CFO role. He wouldn't tell me what the company was. He just was going and going, and I had a meeting. I was like, what is the company? And he finally was like, so it's sexual wellness devices. And then I was like, okay, I gotta go, because it was like my next call. And I hung up the phone and was like, that was weird. I don't even know what that was. Like, didn't even really kind of think about it. This recruiter was awesome. He was just a great recruiter. He kept following up with me. So I started researching. I was like, sexual wellness devices, what is he talking about? I'd come to find out vibrators. That's what he's talking about. Number one market share brand in the U.S., sold at Target, Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, all these different places that I had no idea sold sex toys or vibrators. That just was mind-blowing to me. I will be honest. I think I used a vibrator in my 20s once. And then up into 42, never used a vibrator. It wasn't that I was against it, just never thought of it. It wasn't something I've been married, never even was something I thought of, I guess, in my life, which also really intrigued me because I was like, I am like the target consumer, right? Mm-hmm. I am a never user, we call them. And I just got so interested in this whole idea. And it was a local company too. So I'm from Boston, outside of Boston. The company's in Boston. Met the Yellowwood folks, which are the private equity firm that sponsored Clio, now Beacon Wellness Brands, and they're just amazing guys, who men and women, who kind of got interested in sexual wellness and this expanding and growing category. And the fact that they bought, you know, really were so excited about this, and they're so data focused and financially focused, I was like, this is a no brainer. This company's gonna be amazing. One thing led to another, and I was like, all right, I'm going to go be the CFO of a sex toy company. We have beauty brands as well, which is nice. So we're kind of the intersection of sex and beauty. We have three brands. So Plus One is our biggest brand and kind of our focus, which is the sexual wellness brand. Plum Beauty, which is facial skincare tools and appliances, also sold in most mass channels. And then Palm Perfect, which is a shave brand, which is also number one in the market for women's shave.
So let's talk nomenclature in sexual wellness when it comes to devices. So we could call it a vibrator. Uh-huh. We could call it a sex toy. Uh-huh. We can call it a device. Uh-huh. What are the other things you hear, these words that are floated around?
So we also use kind of the silhouette form a lot. So
you mean saying the word silhouette?
So no. So the vibe or a bullet.
Uh-huh. Oh, uh-huh. Right.
So we use those words a lot. So the bullet, which is just kind of looks like a bullet. It's a really small, predominantly, you know, clitoral or external device. The dual or the rabbit, which is like the Sex in the City rabbit. Mm-hmm. And then a wand, which is also pretty known in the industry. Those are the three kind of basics. So we use those terms a lot. Mm-hmm. And in the industry, bullet, rabbit, wand are kind of three words that are used quite a bit.
And when we're talking about like this cohort of customer, right? Because the people in the room right now are your target.
Yeah.
What words are they choosing to use when they want to talk about this topic with their friends or on social?
Yeah. So, I mean, sex toys, vibrators, those are kind of the big ones. Are you thinking of other ones?
I just, you know, we have so many challenges in marketing around using words to describe the category you're in. And I'm
sexual
just curious.
Sexual wellness devices we use, I'm thinking of like search, right? So like, what are we using in search? But consumers or the general pop are using sex toys and vibrators. We in the industry are generally sometimes, I think, conservatizing or downplaying it because of the stigma,
right?
Which is what we're trying to do, right? Is break the stigma.
So I think this is what's really interesting. You talked about the KEDS experience, which it's actually like so heartwarming to think about, like retelling the story of something that probably happened over 100 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. That like women need comfortable shoes.
Yep.
This was like mind-blowing prospect back then, right?
Exactly.
And then getting into this category where this really is about taking care of yourself, mm-hmm. right? And feeling like your best self. And like, you know, there's a lot of health benefits around, you know, creating pleasure for yourself, like your brain works better, you sleep better. So, but we have a world that doesn't want to really talk about this stuff. And when you say sex toy, I think about garish, you know, I think about male-focused, right? Not a female-focused experience. And that's just culture telling me that, right? So, you know, you were the CFO, now you're the CEO, but this is really, this isn't for when I think about your job as much about growing a company as it is about like growing an awareness around like we can be happy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So back to the theme that you started with before. So what do you hear being in the realm that you're in about how we as women make ourselves happy?
Yeah, I mean, I think as it relates to kind of relationships and sex, you know, it's being in a relationship, whether it's a male, a female, or whoever you're in a relationship with, I think having a healthy sex life is important, right? So that in many studies, having a healthy sexual life with your partner or by yourself leads to other parts of your life being better. So we've done some really big clinical studies on that to understand how orgasm. Again, we use devices or vibrators to help us with that education or that clinical study to understand orgasm. And the use or of the vibrator, which obviously helps the orgasm, but the benefit of the orgasm is what leads to very much increased happiness, being able to sleep better, being more relaxed, having better relationships. And we actually did a clinical study to understand that. So again, I just think about it as there's so many different parts of your life, right? So in a relationship, how are you communicating? How are you working together through problems? How are you having sex? All of those different things are important to happiness. But what we're finding is just that pleasure gap, which is that many more men are having an orgasm in a sexual experience than a woman, whether it's, again, in a heterosexual or non-heterosexual relationship, just because of the stigma around it. Mm-hmm. And so how can we close that pleasure gap for women so that it's not an 80-20, it's an 80-80, right? Because you're not going to always have an orgasm, which is okay. We talk about that a lot, is that you don't have to always have an orgasm in a session, if you will. So that's kind of part of how we're measuring happiness is, you know, what can having a healthy sex life do to other parts of your everyday life outside of just that.
So let's talk about being a leader in this industry. Mm-hmm. So you're a leader in the office, right, with the company, mm-hmm. and you also have to be a leader in the industry. Like, we have Comel here from HerMD, mm-hmm. who you see at a lot of events. Mm-hmm. Karen from Stripes is going to be here later, mm-hmm. right? These are your peers to tell the story. So we were talking on the show before this about leadership style and, like, words around leadership style and, you know, how you lead. Like, what does leadership look like for you in the job of CEO, but then also how does it compare to out in the world talking about this topic?
Yeah, so I think the word authentic comes up. So, like, being honest with the fact that I took this role and had never used a sex toy is important, right? Because it's helping others understand that not all things are linear. Like, people take different paths in their life. It can be related to using a sex toy or a vibrator or being a CEO. Things change. So being authentic and talking to my team about how I got to where I am, you know, is hugely important. And I think about that in leadership all the time. Sometimes I just say, just be a good person. Like, if you're just a good person and you're true to that, you're likely going to be a good leader. So lead with, you know, kind of just a sense of goodness and leading with kind of that people are always trying to do their best. And there's always other circumstances that may make things hard for people. But generally speaking, I like to believe all people are good. So they're always trying to do their best. So just simple kind of ways to lead. I always say too, I lead with calmness. I'm pretty calm. Don't get worked up a lot.
Okay, wait, let's pause here. You were the CFO. So when cash flow was not pleasant, you were calm?
Well, so yes. But I have a way to be calm, but people know when I'm serious.
Okay, so what's the difference and where does it look like?
So I would say I never like in the type of person or leader to yell or to, get somebody kind of worked up in the sense that I'm angry, so they should be angry. I look for information. Mm-hmm. So if something's going wrong or there's a cash flow error or, you know, a mistake in the P&L, I just want the answers through data and numbers. Mm-hmm. So me pushing kind of through that process, I want all of the facts and I want them in 30 minutes mm-hmm. or that's when they know I'm serious. But I'm just not the type to blow a gasket or, you know, yell or
scream. Okay, but I want to really understand, like, for your team, mm-hmm. You're talking about urgency now.
Urgency.
How does that show
serious.
Up? Like, is it, like, a different tone of voice?
It's a different tone of voice. Mm-hmm. It's a seriousness. I think those are the cues. Mm-hmm. I'll ask, but that's what I'm thinking.
You only ask your team.
I'm going to ask my team.
And as a calm person, mm-hmm. as a calm leader, what happens when people don't have that sense of urgency or don't resolve the problem or don't address it head on? What does that look like from calm Maria?
So I actually find that continuing to be calm actually works in that situation. I actually had a situation happen this week, and it would have been very easy for me to get worked up and respond with kind of a heated rebuttal or a, you know, response that would kind of get, you know, that recipient worked up again. But mm-hmm. I chose to just kind of let it go. And, you know, it will come up in our next conversation in a calmer, productive way. Right. So I didn't respond in a heated kind of, mm-hmm. that's not true. Or blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I just was like, I'm just going to let it be. And we're going to talk about it in our next touch base or in our next conversation. Or we're always on the phone with each other. So,
okay. So what you're talking about is being incredibly measured.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. So mm-hmm. I think of myself, I choose to be measured in the world because mm-hmm. it's the fastest, easiest route from point A to B, mm-hmm. right? Because if I really like the Real Housewives, if I flip the mm-hmm. table, if I scream at people, if mm-hmm. I put my finger in their face, I know it's a much longer path to get to point B.
That's exactly how
I want to sometimes do that, mm-hmm. but I know it's in the end, it's not going to serve me. But that doesn't mean I like being measured mm-hmm. all the time. So, like, I'm measured at work. Mm-hmm. I'm measured with my kids, mm-hmm. right? I want to set an example for mm-hmm. how do we move through the world when things aren't easy, right? I'm measured with, you know, people in a store in the parking lot because, once again, it's the easiest path
yep.
from point A to B.
Yep.
But I do want to throw a temper tantrum every mm-hmm. once in a while. And sometimes I do. I just mm-hmm. maybe do it with my therapist mm-hmm. or, you know, mm-hmm. privately, right? But how do you then... there has to be a release, yeah. right? So what does your release look like?
I will text my best friend mm-hmm. who I met freshman year in college, mm-hmm. or I'll call her. Like if it's like a crying moment, I'll call her. But if it's just a, these people are, or, I hate so-and-so, or everybody's driving me crazy, it's a text. Mm-hmm. Or it's just the UGH text.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you guys get those or send those to like a trusted friend or husband. Just the and then you know something's happening.
So the is enough for you to get like a little steam out, mm-hmm. even without describing it or mm-hmm. going into detail.
She'll be like, okay, and then we'll either talk about it later uh-huh. or text about it later.
And how do you, in this code to each other, know when the means I need more of your time?
It usually goes, call me.
Oh, okay. But if it's just, it just means like I needed to get it out, but mm-hmm. I don't need a phone call. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm curious just by a raise of hands, does anyone else have this like kind of relationship with a friend where, like, oh my God, okay. so many people. That's amazing.
Do you guys use No, no. Okay.
I pay people for this. I didn't.
My husband, actually, my husband always goes because she'll send it, but hers sometimes will say, oh, men. And so he'll be like, oh, it's Alina. Oh, men.
Okay, so that's what
I usually
about
just do.
The men is personal relationship. Mm-hmm. The regular could be kids or work yeah. or the parking lot
exactly.
at Costco.
Yep.
Could be anything.
Could be any okay. of those things. Yes.
And you feel that release after the
Yes. Yeah, I do. Okay. But I mean, it could get you could be more than the
Uh-huh.
Depends on the severity.
So, do you agree that it's better to lead a measured life than a table flipping life?
I have found so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then how can we link that to happiness, which is, you know, the topic you brought up earlier?
I think the downfall or the potential, you know, flip side of it is, am I feeling enough, mm-hmm. right? This whole idea mm-hmm. of like processing emotions and communicating, like, is the measured approach sometimes prohibiting me from processing and yeah. feeling and moving forward through my emotions. But overall, I think I'm happy with that choice that I've made so far.
So
I'll continue to think about that.
This has been on my mind a lot because mm-hmm. I think I'm in a place where, thankfully, knock on wood, like there was a lot of peace and serenity in my life. So
yeah.
To not have a lot of big emotions now is actually a little startling.
Yeah.
And I had a big emotion. I had this thing going on at work and I really wanted the potential client to say yes. And they weren't saying yes fast enough. And like, I got into this sort of like childlike place of like insecurity, self-doubt. Mm-hmm. I called Sarah. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. She was my person for that now.
Yep.
Sarah said, trust yourself, you're fine. Yep. And what I was able to do in that moment, just coincidentally, I had to go be at something for my kids. So I really had to shut
okay.
the laptop.
Yeah.
Right. I really had to like walk
yep.
away from it and teach myself to breathe through it. And I actually had like a lot of feelings and mm-hmm. they weren't really feelings tied to the business result. Mm. They were really just old
personal
stuff coming out.
Yeah.
And I did sit down on my therapist's couch this week and say, I'm glad I had these big feelings because I haven't had mm-hmm. so many of these big feelings lately.
Well, sometimes when I'm not having anything go wrong, you're just like, what's next? Something's going to happen. So I should just get ready for it. Right. If you like go too many weeks without something.
I think it's startling when life gets a little easier, right?
Yes, yeah.
I think our kids are around the same age, so the needs aren't physical anymore, right? Those early years was like, I was exhausted all the time. I'm not tired now. Yep. Like, I also take my vitamins, I eat well, I drink a lot of water, I like to sleep, and I have a lot of energy, which is strange, because now I'm like, what do I do with my time? So this time in our life is also like, you know, nice way to enjoy things being a little easier.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the sexual wellness category when it comes to like HR, because I feel like I'm TMI, maybe crossing line if I talk about like, oh my God, my period feels like hemorrhaging. Like, I don't think I'm actually supposed to say that to my team, right? So like, are there any guidelines around... Especially when you're talking about authenticity, right? In the office, you might be talking about, like, which product I like, why I like it. That's pretty personal.
Yeah.
Like, what are the rules?
Yeah, so we actually, it's interesting. So when I joined kind of as the CFO, which, you know, was a couple years ago, I came into, the founder is actually a male, and he had a predominantly male leadership team. So... now it's very different. We've transitioned and grown. So I joined and I was thinking I'm walking into this crazy sex toy company. You know, this is just going to be so much fun. And, you know, I remember on the board when I interviewed, it was like butt plugs, just like were written up there.
Like the word butt plug?
The word butt plugs in big capital letters. And, you know, I walked in and the first couple of weeks I was like, I feel like I'm at like Bank of America. It was so quiet. You know, we talked about butt plugs, but it was like, we would talk about it in a very serious way and, you know, how we're going to expand into this category. And it was just, it was so conservative for what I was expecting. And it's interesting because we've now grown a lot. We have a lot more feminine energy in the company, a lot and a lot more leaders and people who are there because they want to be in this category. So it's definitely changed a lot in terms of people talking about what they prefer, what they like, what they're looking for, what their friends like, what feels good, what doesn't, how do we look into this, where do we go from here. We don't have rules. We have not had one that I'm aware of HR issue as it relates to that question. We hire professional people who are able to talk about this in a professional yet fun and creative, innovative way. So we are lucky. I think that question to answer is that we were lucky. We haven't had to set specific rules around that in any sort of way. You know, we do have men in the company as well, and you know, they're all there because they want to and they're interested, you know, in the category. We do men's product as well, so it's been great to see kind of how we've grown over the past couple of years with the team.
So now we are gonna close out our conversation with a game and then fan questions. This has been such a great conversation. I love hearing your personal story, but now we're going to have a little fun with products.
Okay, great.
So you talked about the three different brands that are within Beacon Wellness, and we're going to do a scenario of gifting game. Okay. So I'm going to give you a setup, like a holiday or a moment, and then options for what is a gift you would give that person. Okay. So let's start with Valentine's Day. Are you gifting the plus one heartthrob air pulsing vibe or the plus one vibrating ring for him?
Heartthrob vibe.
Why?
So this is new this year. It has the air pulsing technology. So again, never users might not know this. Heavy users or the advanced users know air pulsing, you know, is a sensation that is really great. So there's different kind of vibration settings, but air pulsing kind of actually, if you think about it, is like an air kind of a little, it has the simulation of sucking. And so it kind of combines the air pulse with the sucking. So that technology is actually it's a pretty serious technology in the world. And so it works wonders. It's adorable. It's red. It's great for Valentine's Day.
I love that. Okay, mm-hmm. So now a friend is going on vacation. Are you gifting them the Plum Beauty Cooling Facial Roller or the Plum Beauty Compact Sonic Facial Cleansing Brush?
The cooling roller.
Why is that?
So if you're on vacation, I mean, I think of, my idea of vacation is hot beach. So the cooling roller. So it, I mean, it's, I don't know if you guys use them. They're globes. They're just so cooling, relaxing. If you drank a little bit the night before, kind of for that puffiness under your eyes, but just to cool you down, we keep them in our freezer. My daughter has them in her room in her little, you know, those little refrigerators. We have them in our freezer. So you can put them in your, in the freezer in the hotel room. If you, or you could put them on ice. Like mm-hmm. if you don't have a freezer in your hotel room, you could put them on an ice bucket. So definitely those.
Okay. Best friend's birthday. Maybe the friend you met in college. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you want to say her name on air?
Alina.
Hi, Alina. Are you gifting her the Plus One Rose Arouser or the Dia Feather?
Plus One Rose Arouser. The Dia Feather is also amazing, but the rose is another kind of iconic shape sex toy. It's so cute, versatile, small, packs a punch. Everyone loves it. It's quickly become one of the top sellers. So we think everyone should have, every woman should have a bullet, a dual, or a rabbit, and a rose. The wand is also nice because you can use it for any part of your body. But the rose is quickly becoming an icon. Before we have multiple colors and extensions and collaborations coming.
Oh, fun. Mm-hmm. Okay, love that. Okay, we have a bachelorette beach party. Is the gift a Palm Perfect full body groomer or a Palm Perfect bikini trimmer set? That's a good one.
So the Palm Perfect handheld, which is about, it's kind of like the size. It's like the size. So also in the truth world, before I got this job, I lasered everything off my body. So I don't have a lot. I'm not using a lot of these products. But the Palm Perfect, you know, if you're just like, if you're, you know, have a little hair growth on your, like in the sun and you see that one hair or whatever, you can just put that in your bag. Just get that one or where, you know, ever you have a stray hair.
So I see it here.
Yep.
Like I'm in the car.
In the car.
And I look in the mirror. Yeah. I'm like, how long has this gigantic hair been hanging off of my chin? This is scary and sad.
Yep. So you can use it for that.
I'm not alone, right? Am I alone?
No.
Oh, you haven't had that? Okay. Then maybe you have to look closer. They're usually like really thin and like super blonde.
Someone in my company wants to create the like the car. It's basically going to be a device for exactly that. When you're in the car and you look up and it's so, you know, you have the perfect lighting and you just see everything. She's like coming up with the name. So you'll be our first customer.
Okay. Last scenario, date night. Plus one vibin' and thrivin' five-piece set. Five pieces, wow. Or plus one massage and glide two-in-one lubricant.
What's this the date is a really gift? Hard question, but I would say the lubricant.
Okay.
Only because I think this is another, you know, maybe misconception is how great lubricant is for women. And it is so much more likely that you're going to have an orgasm when using lubricant. You know, things can kind of change throughout the, you know, the session. I don't know, and dryness and lubricant is just so beneficial to a woman and having orgasm and pleasure. So it's, I know it's a little like clumsy, the whole process of it, but like once you kind of get over that, I would say lubricant. The set is hard because it's, you know, there's five pieces. And it's just got to, it's got to keep everybody.
It sounds like a happy meal. Like yeah. All the
but
things
I'm
going to
go with the loop because it's, everyone needs a loop. And ours are amazing.
Okay. We have a bunch of fan questions. We have maybe like, we can get to two or three of them. Oh, this is a really important topic. We didn't touch on it. In your career, what has been like the mentorship journey? Did you have mentors working with you? Was that part of the path in all these companies you worked at?
Yeah, so I had a few. I would say, you know, informally, there was a woman when I started at Wolverine, kind of in my 20s. There was a woman who ran, she was the vice president of finance and merchandising operations. That's, you know, planning inventory and all that for StrideRate. And I just remember being like 24 or so, 25, and being like, that's the job I want.
Planning inventory.
Finance. Mm-hmm. She had it all, basically. Okay. Uh-huh. So finance, operations, inventory planning, kind of. But she kind of ran the show. She was off, you know, she's the she was basically the counterpart to the president. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, that's the comfort, that's the role I want. And I kind of just like maneuvered my way, and eventually I had that role. And so she was a mentor in kind of, you know, I ended up working for her for a bit of time. And then we had the mentorship program, but the CFO at my company as well was, I mean, I worked for him for 10 years. And he was someone who certainly gave me, he gave me the ability to be a CFO who could be a CEO.
Mm, that's awesome. So and what was that?
It like was what? almost like a permission to get involved in everything in the business. Like as the CFO of Sperry, I want you to know everything about marketing. I want you to know everything about product. So at times it was like, there's a VP of product, that person needs to know, but he always wanted us kind of in that role to understand everything about the business. This is and he gave us permission to do so.
Right, because I would imagine that's...
It could be challenging at times.
The crowd can tell me if I'm right, but I would imagine like a lot of tension senior leadership has with the CFO is they don't get it. Am I right? Right? Yeah. They don't get it. So this is a gift that this person gave you, right? Yeah. Because now...
It's the reason why I am where I am. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And does he know that type of contribution that he made to you?
I think so. I told him, yeah. I told him, I think, kind of recently, actually. I think.
Okay. What's his name?
Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Gordon. Yeah.
Okay, and then how does now the give back of being a mentor, like what does that look like for you in the role that you're in now? How formal is it, or is it just like, you know?
Yeah, so it's been amazing. So I became the CEO in May, and the number of people who have outreached to me, one about going from shoes to sex toys, I love. I'm like, all the shoe people want to be in this category. This is amazing. So that has been, you know, and we're in Boston. There's a lot of footwear companies. So there's a lot of footwear people in Boston. And there's less, a lot less beauty companies. There's a lot less kind of true CPG. So mentoring people kind of on that jump outside of footwear, and a lot of people in footwear, for a long time, has been great. A lot of women who are just like, this is amazing that this is what you're doing. So informally, coffee, Zooms, texting, just about. And formally, I've actually hired quite a few people. So Nicole is from Wolverine. Catherine led, so CMO, Director of Marketing, and now my SVP of Finance, who also has that ability to kind of flex out of finance into other parts of the company. So I brought a couple of people. And then my finance team is actually, a couple of them are from Wolverine. So informally and formally, bringing people kind of on that journey. And then, you know, now that you say that, we don't have a formal mentoring program. You know, we're kind of like a startup becoming a big girl, big person company. So that would be a great thing for us to add.
And are you the type of person where if people cold LinkedIn you, like, do you respond back?
I do, which I was never a LinkedIn person, and now I've become one. It's, which my husband's like, who are you? Like, what are you doing? I'm like, this is kind of fun. But I do, I respond.
Yeah, I think LinkedIn can be a magical place. I've met a lot of industry friends on LinkedIn, a lot of guests on the show like I never knew before, but we linked in. It is the only social media I use personally.
Yeah.
Everything else feels like an enormous distraction. Yeah. And while, you know,
I do you not even go on, or?
This is my process.
Okay.
I run a digital marketing agency, right? So, like, there's a part of the world that's really important to me, but there's also my sanity and my time, which is important to me. So I will constantly load and delete these apps. So like once a week, usually on a weekend, I will download again Instagram and TikTok, waste away 45 minutes of my life, really focus on the dog videos, send my husband links to adorable dog videos, and then delete them, and then start that again. And if I need it for work, I'll delete.
Did you delete TikTok? Because now you can't get it back.
I can't get it back. I don't have it. So, but
I my life, a new phone yesterday, and I can't get it back.
My life is better for it. You know, I understand the implications for the work that we do every day, mm-hmm. but I'm able to separate that.
Well, that's my excuse. I'm like, well, this is my, I have to be on it.
Right, but you have a big team that's yeah. devoted to being yeah. on it all the time. You don't have to be on it. You can hear from them mm-hmm. and believe them. Mm-hmm. There's nothing happening there. It's going to be like a huge surprise to you. But I hate this idea of time wasting away yeah. and feel like that's my biggest focus.
I don't
focus.
Post anything on anything else but LinkedIn, but I do consume.
Right. Okay. So then I was also at an event. It was a sales conference for one of our like pharma skincare clients. And this doctor went on stage and he's like a mega influencer, mm-hmm. Plastic surgeon guy. And he said, if you waste your time consuming, like you are like really not giving your value to the world. Mm. Right. So he actually, his method is I'll go on for a few minutes. I'll see what's trending. I'll make my, you know, my video about it. And then he exits the platform mm-hmm. because he feels like he has better things to do response, with his time yeah. because if he's just like sucking in mm-hmm. the air of social mm-hmm. media, he's not fulfilling his greatness in the mm-hmm. world essentially mm-hmm. and I believe that mm. It's like if we're just so zoned out, I mean that's what happens mm-hmm. right, it's like I'm zoned out mm-hmm. Then we're not like I could be
acting or
being better.
Yeah.
So I'll use them when I need them and then I'll delete them immediately. Yeah. And then I have an amazing team who's mm-hmm. tuned in and mm-hmm. you know, they're very passionate about it. And I believe them, whatever mm-hmm. they say, I believe. And then LinkedIn is the place where mm-hmm. I can play. But even with that, I'm like, ugh, I don't need to hear this anymore. And I walk away from
yeah.
it. But
yeah.
I don't like, I'm not, the dog videos aren't there. So yeah. I'm not like getting the sucked
dog
in.
Videos,
yeah.
I know. That never, that, I have a dog now. And it's, I never thought I would have any interest in those. But some of them, yeah.
Well, they're highly targeted. I have a doodle, mm-hmm. I have a Bernedoodle. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole bunch of mm-hmm. Bernedoodle, like yep.
very
they're
focused.
They're very
targeted.
Right?
I get the lab ones. Yeah.
Okay, that is the end of our show. Thank you yeah. so much, Maria. It's
Thank
been so
you.
Amazing to spend time with you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for listening to Where Brains Meet Beauty with Jodi Katz. Tune in again for more authentic conversations with beauty leaders.